Those you may have gathered, coming up them stairs, I'm still not used to wearing these robes, 3 years on. So as I nearly threw myself into the wall, but there we are. Today we're looking at Isaiah chapter 11, verses 6 to 9. So if you'd open your Bibles and we read in verse 6, the wolf will live with the lamb, the leopard will lie down with the goat, the calf and the lion and the yearling together, and a little child will lead them. The cow will feed with the bear. Their young will lie down together, and the lion will eat straw like an ox. The infant will play near the cobra's den, and the young child will put his hand into the viper's nest. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. I was discussing this passage with someone the other day, and they said that they found it easier to believe that a little child would lead a lion or that a wolf would lie down with the lamb than that there would be no harm or destruction in the world. Now, with all due respect to my friend, I think that has more to say about Disney films and films like The Jungle Book than anything else. And I wonder what you think when you read this passage. Do you think it's all just a load of rubbish? What is it on about? The wolf living with the lamb, the leopard lying with the goat, the calf and the lion and the little child leading them. A cow will feed with a bear and a lion will eat straw. Children will play near a cobra's nest and be safe. And a child will put his hand in a viper's nest and there'll be no harm. In our world, it's rubbish. And if all you see when you read this passage is rubbish, then rubbish, it will stay. But if you see a picture that the prophet Isaiah is trying to paint, then we will see what God is wanting for our lives, for our world. What Isaiah is talking about is what Jesus called the kingdom of God. When Jesus came as a baby, that began the start of the kingdom of God. And Jesus said in Mark chapter 1, verses 15, chapter 15, verse 5, "The time has come. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news." It was what God's people had long waited for. The Christ had now come. The Christ, the anointed one, anointed by God, which also means Messiah. So, to be the Christ or Messiah is to be the anointed one of God. And where the king is, that is where the kingdom is. This is precisely why Jesus says to the Pharisees in Luke 17, verse 21, "The kingdom of God is in your midst," when he, Jesus, was talking about himself. As Graham Goldsworthy said, "Jesus enables the kingdom theme of God's people in God's place under God's rule." Jesus is both the faithful ruler and the righteous citizen of that kingdom. And Jesus reveals that his purpose is to proclaim the kingdom. Jesus describes his mission in Luke chapter 4, verse 43, saying that he must proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns also, because that is why he was sent. Jesus explains the kingdom and invites people to enter into it. Luke's abridged version of Jesus' ministry, which is we can read in Luke 8, is Jesus proclaiming and bringing the good news of the kingdom of God. The announcement of the kingdom often came through the parables that Jesus said, that illustrated what it was and how it was to work. Through his works, Jesus showed the power of the kingdom and his authority over the princes of darkness. As Jesus says in Luke chapter 11, 20, "If I drive out demons by the finger of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. Jesus not only declares the kingdom in words, but also demonstrates it in his works. And Jesus sends his followers out as ambassadors of the kingdom to herald its arrival. This distribution happens in Luke chapter 10, verse 9, as Jesus sends out the 72, instructing them with these words, "The kingdom of God has come near to you." In the Great Commission, Jesus issued his discipleship plan to the church because he possesses, his discipleship plan to the church because he possesses, as he says in Matthew 28, all authority in heaven and on earth. And Jesus sends his people, his followers, to engage with the kingdom of darkness. People thought that God would send a military conqueror who would rescue the world. But as Jesus said in John 18, "My kingdom is not of this world." Jesus transforms the kingdom, showing it as in its all-exclusive nature, in its rescuing mission, and in its cosmic scope. And in this season of Lent, strange as it may seem to many, his victorious death and his glorious resurrection, Jesus redeems the kingdom as he satisfies the wrath of God poured out for those who rebel against his rule. Jesus defeats Satan, sin, and death. And the Apostle Paul said in Corinthians 2, "When you were dead in your sins and in your uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having cancelled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross." Jesus overcomes the world, the flesh, and the devil by destroying the power of the kingdom of darkness, by purchasing a kingdom people at the cross. Jesus proves himself to be the rightful ruler of that restored kingdom. And in his final words to his people, Jesus concludes his earthly ministry by clarifying the kingdom. Just before his ascension, Jesus' disciples asked him, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" Even at the conclusion of his earthly ministry, Jesus resolved confusion about the kingdom. So the kingdom was key to the start of Jesus' earthly ministry and its conclusion. Jesus returns the kingdom. And in his second coming of Christ, Jesus will return as a triumph warrior king as he returns to achieve the final victory. The name scribed on his body is King of Kings, Lord of Lords. At last, he places all his enemies under his feet as he launches a new creation, a new kingdom that fully reflects the righteous reign. He completes the conquest that began with his birth. So for us, the kingdom of God is here and yet not quite here. What does that mean? Well, it's as much here as we make it here. God chooses us to bring his kingdom, and not surprisingly, his kingdom is important to him. If the kingdom of God was central to Jesus' life and ministry, then it must remain crucial to our life and our theology today. So what would the world look like if it was possible? It is possible in some way. Alan Scott, who is the minister in charge of the Vineyard Church in Coleraine, Northern Ireland, who I mentioned last week, said this in his book, Scattered Servants. God's servants should release peace into their city, he says. God desires that our cities be centres of peace. He goes on to say, in fact, Jesus says in Matthew 10, whatever city or town you enter, let your peace come upon it. So it is possible for a church, a group of people, to bring peace to a city or an area. And Scott goes on to say that in Northern Ireland, parades are one of the areas of significant tension. And in his community of Coleraine, historically, that single issue has torn the heart out of the community in the city. Frequently, they created division and escalated violence in that city. A strong police presence often inflames the situation, he says, and yet there must be a presence to ensure order. He said, this particular year, the police wanted to partner with voluntary agencies that might help. So Scott says they invited his church to attend the parade. And he says, we inquired what they would like us to do. And they responded, when you guys show up, it changes the atmosphere. When the Christians in his church showed up, it changed the atmosphere. And that is how we can bring the kingdom of God, through how we lead our lives and how what we do when we show up. Can you imagine when Christian people show up, the atmosphere changes? We all know, we know that we love God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, and God can change the atmosphere. And through God will work through us to change the atmosphere in our streets, in our borough, in our city. We can bring about a peaceable kingdom, a kingdom of God which lays within each one of us. The wolf amongst us living with that person who would not say boo to a goose. That person who carries a knife helping an elderly person across the street with love. God is saying, follow your God and King Jesus Christ. And this can happen. And when God's people really sign up to this, as they have in Coleraine, things change and God can move mountains. God loves each one of us and wants the best for us. We have to engage with that and believe that in his love, God wants us to help him achieve his kingdom here on earth. Amen.